I know that God is going to meet with you today in this service. Get yourself ready to receive Him. Embrace His love and be empowered to rule and reign in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we welcome you here. I don't know all you've been through all week, but God is here waiting for you with His hands wide open and ready to serve and ready to meet you at the place of your need. May you open your heart and receive the word of the Lord today.
About to happen. STO Global Concepts presents live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Praise Explosion, featuring Tosin Allo, Deborah Lawani, Bisola Crown, and Bunmi Praise. Other artists are Nicolette Kiji, Esther Olatunji, Lindsay and Band, and Dr. Henry Band. There'll also be drama, dance, spoken word, and many more. Date, 25th June 2022 at 5 p.m. Venue, Glory and Peace Church International, 1296 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Red carpet starts at 4 p.m. Praise Explosion. Don't be told.
Jesus, and nothing can keep us apart. Oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, gracious Father. Your grace indeed is enough. It is enough when we're strong. It is enough when we're weak. It is enough at all times. And it assures us, O God, that there is no defeat planned for us. Because the sufficiency of your grace enables us, O God, to overcome. So, Father, we testify and sing not only about the goodness of your grace. We receive it, we work by it, we live by it, we overcome by it, we triumph over every lie, every circumstance, every situation presented to us. For this grace elevates us and causes us to ride in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers, far above the rulers of the darkness of this world, far above all spiritual wickedness. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the more than enough grace available to us that causes us to walk in the increase of our Heavenly Father at all times. Thank you, Father, for taking us out of the place of distress and planting our feet in a lush place where there is no lack of anything. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all here in the house of the Lord this wonderful day. It's very good to see Brother Pedro. That was Brother Pedro there. I've not seen him for a while, but thank God you're here today. Praise God. Well, this evening, I want to explore with you a very important passage of Scripture. It's a scripture that basically addresses the issue of the end of delays in the life of a man. It's found in the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. It's a passage of scripture that you know very well. But I want to remind us of this passage tonight. It says here in the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. Now, a statement like that, after this, wants me to check out what was prior to this? Well, behold, it is a passage of scripture where the Bible says in John chapter 4, it says, that Jesus in verse 3 left Judea and departed again into Galilee. That's 4:4. And it says, and he must needs go. And he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. And what does he see there? He sees a woman at a well that had married many husbands, and the man that she was with at this particular time wasn't her husband, and he strikes a discussion with her, a very strange discussion because rabbis don't spend time alone with women. But he is talking with this woman. His disciples are away. And he asks this woman for water. And the woman says, you're a Jew asking me for water? And Jesus says to her, if you knew who it is that's asking you for water, you would have asked me to give you water. And that was confusing. But there was a lesson in it. The lesson was simply this, that when God is asking you for something, that is your opening to ask him for what you want. If believers learn that lesson, they will be free from a lot of limitations. Jesus says, I have the ability to give you water that will cause you not to thirst. And then she shifts the whole situation to religious stuff. You guys say it's better to worship at that mountain, and we worship at this mountain, and so on and so forth. And the Lord says to her, forget about this mountain and that mountain. There is a time when those who seek God and worship him in spirit and in truth get to experience God in another dimension. Hallelujah. And just about that time, she starts asking this woman, what about your husband's situation? Yeah, the very diplomatic way of asking it. And she says, I don't know how to answer that. Go call your husband. Bring your husband here. And the woman says, I have no husband. And Jesus says to her, you're correct. You don't have a husband. You're busy shacking up. He says, in fact, you've had five husbands. And you're number six. Woman says, what? How do you know this stuff about me? I know a lot of stuff about you. I know about all of your issues. But yet, I have elected to spend this special time with you. Woman says, I perceive that you're perfect. Yes, you're right with that. Well, let me ask you a question. Since you're a prophet, our fathers worship at this mountain. And you guys say that we should worship in Jerusalem. Who's right? Jesus, our Lord, responds and says, believe me, the hour cometh. The hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. This is not about a place. It's about the one that you're worshiping. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the key thing. That you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Well, I know the Messiah is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. That's true. And so the discussion continues. And the disciples come. And when the disciples get there, they bring the food, and Jesus is not very interested in the food. He says, are we missing something? Did somebody bring you something to eat? And the Lord begins to address this very important issue. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's my will. The one that sent me, my will, my meat is to do his will and to finish his work. Whatever it is that God has started, I'm here to finish it. I get to complete the work that God has started. And this is, in fact, the message that is communicated to us in the Lord's Prayer. When it says, give unto us this day our daily bread. It's not just about food. It's about our daily assignment. The ability to do the will of God. Accomplishing what God wants done. That's the trust of the matter. Anyway, this lady goes and she's busy telling all the guys about Jesus. And Jesus is busy talking with his disciples here. And he's saying to them, you guys keep on saying the harvest is going to come. It's going to come. He says, look up. The harvest is here. It's ready. Stop postponing the blessing. Stop postponing the harvest. Someday, this is going to happen. And someday, that is going to happen. And someday, I will this. And someday, I will that. And God says, wake up, smell the coffee. That someday that you've been looking for, you're already in it. Many times, we keep on pushing the day of the blessing off. It's going to happen then, when this and when that. And God says, stop that. When this and when that. No, it is ready. Go get it. The problem is I have so many people that are not go-get-it people. They're always procrastinating and pushing the harvest down the line. And when they get there, they're still pushing. It's like a mirage. You never catch up with a mirage. It's watery over there. Oh, let me go get the water from there. And when you get, the closer you get, it vanishes on you. When people pursue after mirages, they end up with nothing. Nothing. Mirages never quench the thirst. And pushing forward every time, the promise will never bring you to the place of fulfillment. It's just the way it is. Or someday I'm going to be anointed. And God says, you're already anointed. Someday I will overcome. No, greater is he already that's in you than he that's in the world. You're already an overcomer. Don't plan to be one, be one. Hallelujah. We need to embrace the promises of God as a present reality. Why? The Lord is at hand. He's here. And he's well able to do great things today. If I keep on pushing it up, then I will never arrive at my destiny. That is a challenge.
So this is the discourse that he's going through. He's going through with his disciples while there in Samaria. And so the Bible tells us this lady goes out there and begins to share her story. And while she's sharing her story, Jesus is busy talking to his disciples. And in verse 38, he makes this remarkable statement. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Huh? So I can reap a harvest where I had not labored? He said, yeah. Other men labored and ye entered into their labors. You stepped in. You came later, but you are in it, into their labors. And now you get to inherit, just like they, the blessing of the Lord. This is a very important message, because the Lord displays this same thought to us later on when he talks to us about going out early in the morning. He says there was a man who went out and sees some people out there and says, hey, come over. Come do some work for me. And he comes the ninth hour and gets some more people and comes, you know, until it was the 11th hour and there's only 1 hour left. And he says, you guys come. He had made a deal with the very first group. Let's put it simply, I'm going to give you $100 for your service. And when he pays everybody the same $100. And hey, what's happening here? Well, it's one harvest. Don't say, I've not been part of the ministry for so long. You know, I'm just here now. Now that you get here, get working. You are invited to be part of the labor. Notice this statement again. Verse 38. Notice the statement. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You still entered into their labors so that you can be participants in the harvest. It is from this context that we come to the fifth chapter. After he'd laid out so many teachings, and all of it had to do primarily on that particular first statement, he had needs. He had to be at Samaria on his way to Jerusalem. And the Bible says in the fifth chapter, watch this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, which simply means the set of double peace. Double peace. By the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of mercy, but it also means the place of flowing waters. He's there, and in this pool, There were five porches, five different compartments. And in these compartments were a great multitude of impotent people, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Strange. At the house of mercy, there are all these sick people, and they are waiting for the moving of the water. But the place is a place of flowing waters. Are you with me? It's a place of flowing waters. What does that tell me? If they are waiting for the moving of the water, and the Word of God says it's a place of flowing waters, the place of mercy, why are you waiting? This was not a place, well, the Bible says at a particular time the waters got troubled, which means now it's going to be moving. Hello? It's going to move, and whoever steps in first gets healed. And there was a man there who'd been there for 38 years. 38 years. 38 years. In the place of flowing waters, moving waters, a place of mercy. And he's waiting for the water to move. Ironically, Jesus is going to meet this man in that place that he's been in for 38 years to reveal to him, you didn't have to be here for 38 years. None of you. This is the house of mercy. This is the place of the flowing waters. But you're waiting for the waters to move. Why don't you get it? It is a place of flowing waters, and you go there and say, Father, I thank you. This is a place of flowing waters. I am healed. Why don't you just do that? We wait because we do not take and pull the grace that's available. That's our problem. The answer is there, but we wait for some magical thing to happen. God says, I created you with my creative words. I put my creative words inside of you. Breathe. Because if you keep on receiving it, you keep on breathing in and you don't breathe out, you will die. Hello? It takes both. If you don't speak, you become mute. God put creativity inside of me so that I can prophesy out of the wealth of those creative words. God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. God is waiting for me to prophesy my future now. I don't know if you're hearing by the Spirit of God what I'm saying to us. Many times we're waiting for what we should not be waiting for because we're not declaring what we know already. You're waiting for the waters to be moved by an angel? Well, let me show you that the waters have already been moving, because today there's not going to be an angel there, and you are going to move out of here. The problem is not that God has not spoken. It is that we are waiting for God to do something else that is so remarkably amazing and mind-shattering for us to believe that we've received it. Oh, I didn't get healed. I didn't get healed because I didn't fall under the power of God. Did you hear from the man of God, be healed, be restored, and be made whole? Yeah, he said that, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. You know, if my hair stands out like Don King, then, you know, then I know I've been zapped. And you go home, same. The word of God can sustain you, either in sickness or in health. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean that when you receive the word of God, the word for healing, the healing word of God will stay inside of you until you begin to confess it out of your mouth. You will not die from the sickness, but you will still have the sickness because you've not believed it. But the word of God, the radiance of the word of God is keeping you alive until the day you say, forget this thing. This cancer cannot, I cannot occupy the same space with cancer. The word of God cannot occupy the same space with cancer. Therefore, cancer, you got to go. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You plug into what God has already done. Why am I waiting for God, Jesus, to show up and somebody lay hands on me for me to receive my healing, when the word of God says, by his stripes ye were healed? I am called to embrace what God said is available already. Tap into it. My daughter is telling me about our last granddaughter, present last granddaughter. And was saying that when she knows something belongs to her, she doesn't take permission anymore. She just knows that's mine, it's in the fridge, you gave it to me, and she goes and grabs it. If it is not given to her already, then she will ask permission for it. But when she knows it's mine, I can do anything I want to do with that which belongs to me. I'm saying, how old is this kid? How smart are these children nowadays? I think, wow, what am I doing asking for this, asking for that, when I know what my rights are already? You are in the house of mercy. Receive the mercy. Hallelujah. God says, and in this place will I give prosperity, I'll give my peace. And you step through these doors into this church, and you want to remain poor when the name of the church comes from Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9? No, I am not poor, I am not broke, I am not restless, I am not confused, I have the mind of Christ, and the peace of God reigns supremely in my life. I have stepped into the house of God, and in the house of God, the abundance of God pursue after me and overtake me. Father, I give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tap into what God has already made for you. It is already there. Father, I heard my pastor say, there's no unemployment in Glory and Peace Church. And guess what that means? I'm part of this church. No unemployment for me. Hallelujah. I'm gainfully employed and blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. If the word of God in this house is, I am head and not tail, that's exactly what I accept. I receive that grace. I am the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. God declared June to be the month of increase. Father, I thank you. I'm in the month of increase. Every good thing will increase in my life this month. No matter what the devil thinks, increase is mine. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. Increase for every good thing. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm in the house of expansion. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You are expanding my reach. Grace abounds towards me. You say this is the month of victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am victorious because God's word says I am victorious. This is the month of acceleration. Speedify, that's what I say. Whatever God says, that's what I'm saying. I don't need nobody to lay hands on me. I'm going to prophesy the blessings of God in my life. 38 years, this man is seated there waiting for the moving of the waters when he's in a place of flowing waters. Flowing waters are moving waters. He's in the house of mercy, of goodness, and he's not experiencing any goodness. The irony of things. This truth we must apply, because Jesus just finished saying, you're saying the harvest is coming. The harvest is here. It's what? Lift up your head and see. Stop procrastinating and pushing it this way and that. No, the hour has come. When you stop talking about which mountain you're going to worship at, in Jerusalem or over here. No, this is the time of the blessing in your life. Embrace it now. Captivate it. Let it capture you. Capture it and let it capture you. Hallelujah. This morning, as usual, I'm here before any one of you get here for at least an hour or plus, early in the morning, spending time quiet before the Lord. And I was looking at my notebook, and I noticed a statement that I'd written there about me wearing God, and that is for protection. Being in God is for protection. And I noted, but God in me energizes me. And I was meditating on it. I'm in God, I'm protected. He in me, just like a hand in a glove, energizes me. I said, I am protected and I am energized by the Spirit of God. I'm covered on the inside and on the outside. My thinking must morph to embracing that truth. I am protected and I'm empowered. Hallelujah. That is powerful. We need to change our thinking to match up with the will of God for our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here are all these people, and it's amazing how people find each other. If you take a drug addict from Winnipeg and take him to another city, or even, it doesn't matter. Guess what? Drug addicts and drug pushers will find that person like in nanoseconds. Why? Because like attracts like. And therefore, you know it, that all the blind people were hanging together. All the deaf people are over there, this is a blind session. And the crippled people are over there, the drug addicts are over there, and all everybody finds themselves. They sort themselves out. It's just life. In any group, you will find people just finding their place. But that's not God's will. That's not God's will for you to be forming little cliques here and there. God wants us to be a family in Him. Amen? Anyhow, there are five portions. Five represents grace. We know that. But here again, grace is not working for them. Mercy is not working for them. It's five porches because it's the house of mercy or the house of grace or the house of the goodness. And they're all staring at the water. Now, that water gets troubled at a particular time in the year. God just sends an angel. These people is the house of mercy, so let me show mercy to them. Maybe they get it, and somebody gets healed. And tradition told them, oh, one person got healed already, so I guess we'll have to wait for another time. So we wait another year. We missed our opportunity this year. Well, brother, we thank God for you. You're going to leave us. We're going to miss you. And he says, yeah, I'm going to miss you guys too, but I got to go. And just as he's leaving, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 other people come. And you know what will be annoying is when somebody just came today, because they've heard the tradition and he's the first one in the pool, bang, and gets healed and goes home. Oh my, you freak out. What is happening here? I thought this is a place of mercy. Oh God, why don't you love me? Oh God, oh God. This guy just came at me. So that's where it's supposed to be. But God is trying to tell them, you got it wrong. If you decide to jump into that water and say, God, I am not getting out of this water until this water moves with me inside of it, God will say, I don't want you to drown. Move the water. Whatever. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. That is a promise of God. I don't care who got what. Even Esau, in his own messed up situation, said, okay, I know you've blessed my brother. Isn't there anything left? Bless me with something. And with the nothing blessing, the man was loaded. Are you listening? Yes. The man was loaded. Just read the life of Esau. He's loaded without the blessing. Huh. I really don't have anything, just a little dab, since you've emptied the whole oil on my brother. At least just touch the bottom of the pot and put some oil on me. That'll be enough. And he made so much with that. Many times the delay has nothing to do with God. The delay has everything to do with our thinking. Not recognizing that if I'm the house of mercy, the God who is merciful, that I can receive mercy all the time because he's not just there once in a while. He's God and he's everywhere present. I can receive my miracle today. I don't have to wait. The time for waiting is over. God, bless me now. Make me a blessing now. Hallelujah. Now we know from the message this morning how Isaac was delayed in receiving the promise because he was living a lie. And the biggest lie that we can embrace and live with is the lie that says, well, we are under the same heaven. It's not raining. And nobody's succeeding. The economy is bad. So that's why the economy has to be bad for me. Excuse me. Whose child are you? I'm a child of the Most High God. Now, so you think God is going to withhold from you his goodness? Well, I guess, you know, the way things work, that's the problem. The way things work. The way things work is the water gets troubled, and whoever gets in there gets healed. But this day, Jesus comes in there and he says to the man, do you want to get well or not? Hey, what were you talking about? Will thou be made whole? Do you want to be well? The man says, I don't have anybody to help me. That's my problem. He's an impotent man. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. I've been trying. I'm sure you tried the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year. And after celebrating everybody that's getting healed, after a while, I think he just decided, what's the point? I'm going to try to go over there. Somebody else is going to get their miracle. And I'm going to come back with my sorry self and hang here. The problem is, everybody else had the same opportunity. After 38 years, after 37 years, going to the 38th year, I think if this angel comes and troubles the water, that you are more experienced than anybody else in knowing the time and the season when this thing happens. And since you know better than everybody else, because you are the man on the ground, you know the system, that when it is coming closer, you get off from under the porch, the covering, and the rain will hit you, the sun will dry you up and tan you, And after a while, you just, knowing it's about the time, you just stick your hand in the water or go for a swim or whatever. His problem was that he had given up. He'd given up. And many times we give up. We give up because we just think in our natural minds that this miracle is not meant for me. I will never have children. I am barren. I'll never be married because I'm too old. I'll never have a business of my own because I don't have the capital. I will never this, I will never that. It's too late for me. It's time for me to just settle. Now, that's not what God's plan is. Not when you know that you have the power of the tongue, the power of life, and you stop speaking death and you keep on prophesying. I thank you, Father, that today is my day. Today I'm going to meet my husband. Today I'm going to meet my wife. Today my husband is going to meet me. Today my wife is going to meet me. Today I'm going to be blessed with great things. Are you ready? Every time God wants to release the blessing, he speaks his name. He spoke it before Moses when he was about to bring about changes. Begin to praise God for what you want by speaking his name, the name of what you want. It becomes your bridge from the place of lack to the place of the abundance of what God has on his mind for you. Because the name that you call is the name that comes. I don't know if you heard that. If you call me Pastor Zeno, Apostle, Doctor, whatever, guess who's going to come to you? Me. Not Johnny. Not Ephraim. Not Angelina. I'm the one who's going to come. And if my name is what I am, when you declare Jehovah Jireh, the God who blesses and the blessing is manifest for all to see, I proclaim your name. I declare that Jehovah Jireh, you are God. You reign over my day. Guess what I'm waking up to? Guess where I'm sleeping that night? I'm sleeping in the presence and the essence of Jehovah Jireh. Guess what's going to happen the day when I wake up and I start moving that day? Guess what's going to happen? Things are going to start coming to me that I didn't ask for, but a blessing. You know, sometimes I am just awed at the blessing of the Lord and how it comes and from whom it comes. And every time provision comes, you know where it came from. It doesn't have to be a big thing. No, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Somebody doesn't have to come and give you $1 million for you to know that you're blessed. That they gave you a screwdriver that you didn't ask for. That's a blessing. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this screwdriver. I don't know why I'm getting it, but I thank you, Lord, for it. Hallelujah. Being thankful will bring more into your life. Oh, but I will know that Jehovah Jireh is Jehovah Jireh in my life when I get $1,000. You wait. Because you're not thankful. You're going to wait a long time. You're barren. And some lady comes and hands you their child to carry the child. You say, "Thank you, Father. I thank you for the privilege of holding a child. I thank you, Lord, that you are blessing me with my own child." It's the portal. Have you heard of people who went and adopted, they've been waiting for a child for 20, 30 years, and they finally adopt a child, and then she gets pregnant? Well, that's the secret. That's the secret of being a blessing, to receive the blessing. Not waiting. Well, if I don't get pregnant, then I'm not going to have children. No. That's the wrong thought. That's the wrong thought. Our family members that were barren and began to thank God. And instead of having one, they had two twins. Bang. The problem solved. Now they say, "Oh my God, I can't sleep." I can't sleep. Well, you wanted a child. Hallelujah. The message, the point of the message is this. The power of change is always around. Jesus says, "Do you want to get well?" The man starts complaining, "I don't have anybody to help me." Jesus just says to him, "Man, just take up your bed. Go home. Just go. Take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and was cured. And it is happening on the Sabbath day. Oh, my Lord. It's happening on the Sabbath day. Why do you think Jesus was busy healing people on the Sabbath day? When the law says you can't do any work. He's healing on the Sabbath day because the Sabbath day is a day of rest. And he's saying, rest from all of your troubles. I call you to rest. I call you to a new beginning in your life. Stop hanging around the failing aspects of your life and embrace the victory that is made possible for your mind, for your body, for your finances. God, you have more than enough, and it's available to me. I don't know how it's going to manifest itself in my life. That's your trouble. But Lord God, I cry out to you and I say, bless me, and bless me indeed. There was a man called Jabez who cried out to God. He says, "They're calling me bad names, but I don't buy into those bad names. Because even in the badness, there is much blessing. So God, who can bless me right here, right now, even with the same name, that will cause people to say, I think I like that name. Since we've been calling this man this bad name, the man keeps on going up." Reminds me of a story that Dr. Creflo Dollar shared about this man, a white supremacist that was bugging him and writing all kinds of crazy things about him, and just been bad to him. And this guy was casing his house, and he comes to his gate and he sees this guy there and says, Would you like to come in and see rather than you staying here?" And the man says, "Sure." He says, "Come on in." Takes him to his house, opens the door. The man gets into his house, drops to his knees, and says, "Oh God, make me a nigger." It's not in the name. We just need to tap into the fullness of the goodness of God and stop pushing it off to some special day. There's no special day. There is a special God. My spiritual father used to say there was no day of miracles, just a God of miracles. Hallelujah. And that's the same message I'm bringing to us today. There's no amazing day coming. The amazing day is here because the day maker is here with us. God, bless me and make me a blessing. I am not going to stay here for 38 years. Bless me. Bless my family. Bless my church. Bless my country. Bless, oh God, the works of my hands. The work of my hands are blessed. I thank you, Lord, that the work of my hands are blessed. I am increased, greatly increased. I've waxed great, and I'm very great until the world envies me because I'm so blessed. Well, but you don't see it. I say I'm blessed. And there shall be a manifestation. There shall be a performance of that which God has spoken. And God lives inside of me, and I'm saying it. Therefore, there will be a manifestation of that which I am saying out of my mouth right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, take your bed and go home. The guy carries his bed and goes home. And of course, the religious gang came and said, who told you that you are free? Who told you that you can be free? Who told you? Well, I don't know who told me, but there's a guy who told me to carry off my bed and leave. Well, it's not lawful for you to be free. Well, I'm free now. Well, you see, when you have become embittered in your life, your bitterness will show up. He finally meets with the Lord Jesus Christ, understands that the person who healed them was Jesus, meaning when Jesus healed him, he did not recognize that Jesus was the healer. But now that he's healed, Jesus, our Lord, comes to him and says to him, he says, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. So what caused this man's impotence was his sinful life. And God had come to show him mercy without troubling the waters. He says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. This thing came to you. This impotence came to you. We don't want the worst thing to come. And just because the Lord Jesus Christ told him the truth, the man, Bible says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. Yeah, the people that don't care for your freedom, you're going to tell them now. That's Jesus. Why? He's offended by the statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't do what you did because it's going to cause you bigger problems. But the irony of it all is this. It's not about that man. The real issue is on this day, something happened that's never happened. At least we know for 38 years. The water was not troubled, and a man is walking away healed. But tradition said to the rest of them, oh, I guess it's the one person deal. Well, but that day, they could all have gone home. All of them could have gone home healed, delivered, set free by just running to Jesus. Whatever it is that you did for him, do for me too. But they stayed there. They didn't move because they were stuck with the tradition of their minds. The traditions of men make the word of God totally ineffective. If God has blessed anybody, you have the right to say, me too. My grandchildren know it. My children knew it. I don't give anything to anybody without them looking and expecting theirs. In fact, my grandchildren have gone to the another stage. This stage is the stage there is snacks at Papa Lulu's house. Mommy, take me. My granddaughter would say, Papa, whoa, whoa. Take me there. And when she comes in, she kisses the joint. And which one do you want? And she gets it. And she goes home. She's satisfied now. Well, kiss the joint. Get your stuff. You're determining when you get it by showing up in the right place. The house of the Lord, the house of mercy, the house of flowing waters. God, things are flowing in my direction. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am so blessed by the scripture passage in Judges 8 that I read to you this morning about moving from the place of distress and coming to this large place. And then it defines it to us. The large place is a place where you get to lack nothing that you need in the earth. Oh God, take us to that large place. I am in that large place. I have been elevated and translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. The kingdom of your dear Son is a large place. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 18 and verse 10. I read that as a wrap up tonight. When you go, you shall come unto a people secure, unto a large land. For God, watch this tense, hath given it. When you go. So it was not given because they were there already. It was given even before they got there. He says, you're going to come to people that are secure. You're going to come to a large land, for God had given it unto your hands. It's yours. A place where there is no want of anything. Of anything that is in the earth. Wow. Anything that's in the earth, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, you are El Shaddai. The God who knows no limits, all-nourishing God, a God who satisfies. You are God El Elyon, the Most High God. We thank you, Lord, this day that every area of need in our lives has already been addressed. For you simply say, I am that I am. My name. Signifying, O God, that whatever it is that we want in our lives, that you become that to us. You become father to us. You become mother to us. You become strength to us. You become husband to us. You become whatever it is that we need. This is so true that you made yourself an Isaac. You made yourself a Samuel to fulfill your promise, the promise and the commitment that you made out of your mouth. So, Lord, whatever it is that we need to have in our lives, we declare today that you, the God who is ever present, all powerful, all knowing, and Lord, oh God, that you be that manifestation in our lives, in the realm of the spirit and in the natural realm. For Lord, oh God, all things are spiritual to you. For all things proceed and come forth out of you. Father, we break free from the mindset of delay. And we elect, oh God, this day to be reminded and to be empowered by your everlasting word. We declare a new day, a new season, a new now for our lives, for our families, for our church. Oh God, we declare that we are a blessed people, a highly favored people, a people walking in integrity, empowered to live fulfilled. For Lord, oh God, you satisfy our mouths with good things. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. We shall live and not die and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You still declare, I am the resurrection and the life. They that believe in me shall not die. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare, O God, your will done in us and through us. Every day of our life, we are energized by the truth of your word. For you seek those that will worship you in spirit and in truth. Find those people in us. This day, we declare it so done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I trust that something that was said tonight spoke to your spirit and elevated you in that grace to see a full manifestation of God's purpose. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, before we leave, let us honor God with our giving. Let us give like men and women that are blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. No lack. No limits. Praise God. And the God of heaven shall breathe into that which we have released and will increase it for his glory and for his honor. Amen. Honor God. At this time, while you're doing that, we will have the announcements in play. Be reminded that on the 25th, I believe it is, there's going to be a very powerful concert here. Plan to be here and participate. Hallelujah.
It's about to happen. STO Global Concepts presents live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Praise Explosion, featuring Tosin Aloe, Deborah Lawani, Basila Crown, and Bunmi Praise. Other artists are Nicolette Kiji, Esther Olatunji, Lindsay and Van, and Dr. Henry Van. There will also be drama, dance, spoken word, and many more. Date, 25th June 2022 at 5 p.m. Venue, Glory and Peace Church International, 1296 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Red carpet starts at 4 p.m. Praise Explosion. Don't be told.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have the last video for tonight, and then we'll close in prayer, about our declaration for this month. This is the month of June, and God has a word for us to prophesy out of our mouths. Amen? Remember something I've always mentioned to you. When God says something, there's always an enemy that wants to resist that word. It is your place to enforce that word and say, I don't care what you think, what you want. I am in agreement with God. I will be greatly increased. Amen? Hallelujah. I am not here under your thumb. You are under my feet. Glory be to God. Let us have that, and then we'll pray a prayer of closing. Say with me, June is my month of increase. I declare it so, and so it is, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.